you, Michael. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Elvis is still alive and well. I know, because last time I was in Las Vegas visiting my cousin. Thank you very much. I saw him many times. Who's really behind JFK and the assassination? Will we ever really find out? You know, they released most of the documents. The NARA released them last year in 2023. Did you know that the FBI may have been complicated in 9/11? They found out that the hotel rooms were on an FBI charge card. You know that there's a deep state out there. And there's a shadow government. You know, if you haven't figured it out yet, there are truly things that are happening behind the scenes. There really are things happening behind the scenes. They're being controlled. And they've been controlled by governments and entities for thousands of years, not just in America today. And some of those entities are both good and evil. God is controlling things. He's ultimately in control. And he allows Satan the devil to control governments and people. He gives us freedom to do that in the world today. And he has since the beginning of time. You know, there's so many fables, lies, and truths out there. What is a Christian? What's a disciple of Jesus Christ supposed to believe? You know, I was on YouTube the other day, and they actually have a channel that lists like hundreds and hundreds of conspiracy websites that you can click on. And I'm in cybersecurity, and I will tell you right now, do not click on those links. Okay? So what about mainstream media and the large number of lies? And we know that we hear a lot of lies on mainstream media today. I mean, I think some of us would have to be foolish to think that they're telling us the truth all the time. You know, every single outlet out there, every media outlet out there has an agenda behind them just by the virtue of them running the stories that they run. If they don't run another story and they run this one, they've made a decision. They have an agenda behind them. I mean, have you ever thought about that? You know, the bottom line is that you know, we can't be ignorant about what's going on in the world today. We do have to watch the news as God's people. And the Bible clearly tells us to be watching and to be alert. And I'll say here and now that we don't want to be lazy, but I'm going to give a lot of credit to the United Church of God because we have so many articles out there that actually put the news in a biblical perspective. I mean, how much research do we really have to do out there? And I'm not saying not to do that. What I am saying is be careful of what you follow out there and what you believe. Let's first turn to Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you don't expect. Jesus instructed his disciples to be watchful. But what was Jesus telling his disciples in this scripture, if we look a little deeper? He wasn't telling us that our job was to expose the government of corruption. Jesus' real emphasis is not to just watch, but his emphasis was to be ready. That was the emphasis. It was to be ready. And we always have to be ready. Even if we're watching, it doesn't matter if we're not at the point of no return. It's about watching so we're prepared, so we're ready for Jesus Christ coming. We're to watch, but if we watch and we haven't made ourselves ready, what good was all the watching? You know, this can be the downfall to some Christians and some people who study the Bible. You know, this world has a way of getting us so busy into watching these things and getting us wrapped up into those types of things that people might neglect getting themselves ready. And I want to encourage each and every one of us to become ready. We can use this time before Passover and the Passover season to make ourselves more ready for Jesus Christ and his coming. Let's not get hung up on the little things. Those are the little things in life. The big things are to make ourselves ready. What'll it change if you really know who killed JFK? What'll it change if you really know who's in the Illuminati? What'll it change if you know who's collaborating and who's in collusion to suppress the middle class? What'll it change if you know the real agenda behind the UN and the EU? Will you change it? It's fine to know about these things, and sometimes it's exciting and it's mysterious and it's got an intrigue to it. It's kind of like reading mini novels, isn't it? It's fine to know about these things. But I think that the United Church of God has done a good job into bringing these to balance and the relevance to the Bible. For disciples of Jesus Christ, our number one focus is to become like him. It's to become like Jesus Christ and to seek his kingdom. Let's take a look at the beginning. In the beginning, there was truth. There was truth in the beginning. There wasn't conspiracies. There weren't lies. God gave Adam and Eve the truth. It was pure. It wasn't exaggerated. There was no deceit. There was no lies. There was no leaving out facts. God gave them the pure truth. I'm sure God answered their questions just like you would your children. Your children ask you a question. You want to answer them honestly and candidly, and you want to give them the information that they need to know. I'm sure Jesus Christ did that for Adam and Eve in the very beginning. They were a blank slate. You know, God wanted Adam and Eve, he warned them not to eat from one single tree in the garden, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told them that if they ate of that tree, they would die. Yet they believed a stranger. They believed a complete stranger. And it's really weird. It was a serpent talking to them. I mean, wouldn't you suspect a serpent talking to you? Did any of the other animals talk to them? I don't think so. But this serpent talks to them. And they believed it instead of God, who had shown them nothing but kindness and care for them, to give them a home in the garden and to do for them. He provided for them. They trusted their own reasoning instead of God's truthful word. They had the facts, they had the truth from the source that they knew they could trust, the source they knew they could trust. God was proven, never a lie, never betrayed them, always trusted. They could have gone to God with their questions, but they didn't. They decided to make their own bad choices. You know, sadly, people don't want to hear the truth. It started with Adam and Eve. They still wanted to live their own way, and that's taking place yet today. It was that way in Jesus Christ's day when he was here on the earth in the flesh over 2,000 years ago. Let's look at man's history of lies and conspiracies. The truth is there, but we can't handle the truth. No, I hope we can in this room and those listening. We can handle the truth. The world cannot handle the truth. Not yet, anyways. Let's turn to Matthew 23:29. Matthew 23:29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have partaken with them in the blood of the prophets. Because they didn't want to hear the truth that the prophets told. They killed the prophets. They didn't want to hear the truth, their fathers. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. And as we know, they continued to kill the ultimate prophet, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who's telling them these exact words. Therefore, you're witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Verse 32, fill up then and measure for your father's guilt. Serpents, just like in the garden. Brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send the prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. Then on you may come all the righteous blood of the earth, and the blood of the righteous Abel, and the blood of Zechariah, son of Barashiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon the generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. That's what happens to truth tellers. It's not a nice thing in this world. That's what can happen in the future. People do not like to hear the truth. So what are our priorities as children of God? We're to be like Jesus Christ. Imitation, they say, is the sincerest form of flattery. And Jesus Christ desires us to be like him. Not out of ego, but it's so he can bless us. It's because he loves us so much, he wants to bless us. That's why he wants to be like him. Other people would like to have them be like you because it's kind of flattering. Like, hey, look at they're just like me. But Jesus wants siblings. He wants members in his family. He wants brothers and sisters in his family. How much do we desire to be a part of that future for all mankind? Enough to be like Jesus Christ? He's offering us eternity. Hopefully we're not looking to that short term that this whole world has to offer. Are we willing to forego the things of this life, including the lusts and desires that are so available to us today? Here's the fact. Jesus experienced the biggest conspiracy in history. Jesus Christ experienced the biggest conspiracy in history. And that was Satan trying to destroy him. The real governments of this world battling behind the scenes. They're the spiritual governments. You know, we read the clever and the deceit and the dialogue that Satan tried to lure Jesus Christ into failing in a verbal battle of words. Jesus Christ was weak. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. But he was prepared. Even though he was humanly, physically weak, he was probably at his peak of spiritual strength. He had spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting, praying, and meditating with God the Father before he was tempted by Satan the devil. Satan pulled every punch, but Jesus withstood the barrage of punches. I'm going to paraphrase Matthew 4. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you'd like. I'm just going to paraphrase. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Satan said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Then the devil took Jesus to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Then the devil left behind, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Satan tried through clever lies, just as he did in the Garden of Eden to tempt Jesus Christ. Jesus wouldn't fail us. Jesus would not fail us. If he were to fail, we could not and would not have the opportunity to become a part of God's family someday. Because only his blood and his righteous life could save us and cover our sins. Satan tried to get his wicked way in one fell swoop. All humanity wouldn't have had the opportunity to be in the God family. And that's what he was attempting to do. That was his attempt. If he could do that, none of us would be in God's family. But Jesus Christ and God the Father wouldn't have that. Satan wanted to destroy us. And he's still in that business today, trying to do that. Only now, he's trying it one Christian at a time. We need to make his job harder. We need to make it impossible. That's our job, brethren. That's what our plan is. That's what our plan needs to be. Don't let Satan infiltrate our lives. He's the father of lies, and he disguises things. He tries to keep us busy. He tries to get us at each other's throats. That's how he effectively blinds us. He keeps us busy. He keeps us wrapped up in our own little problems. He keeps us busy in conspiracies to the next event, maybe the next task we have to perform in our life, maybe that next email, the next social media, the next job we have to do, the next text. Whatever it is, he wants to keep you away from being close to God. That's how he can effectively blind us today. But if we're staying close to God, and we're taking that time and not making him an afterthought, we won't fall prey to his tactics. Satan is the king of conspiracies. He'd like to remove our names from the book of life. Most of us have been studying and hearing sermons. Jesus was betrayed and horribly crucified and murdered. He lay dead in the grave for 3 full days and 3 full nights. At that point, Satan might have thought he won. Jesus Christ was laying there dead. He might have thought he won. He might have thought he thwarted the plan of God and having children and his family. Satan's great conspiracy to destroy God from having children and his family. But alas, our Savior, the all-powerful, almighty, awesome, our hero Jesus Christ, is resurrected to sit at the right hand of his Father in heaven. He's ready at the Father's command to reign here on earth. Seeing the devil, Jesus Christ will cast that great conspirator, Satan the devil, into utter darkness someday, to never tamper, to never mess with our lives again. He may have thought he was winning, but he failed, and he became the ultimate loser. Don't let this world take you from the mission God has set out for you. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the wasting time on frivolous things and petty arguments are not what this is about. Focus on our relationship with God the Father and growing into the wonderful family that he's introduced you into. That's what the true calling out, the true people called out will do, those called out. Winners are focused and don't waste time. I think we all want to be winners. As conspiracies, true or not, are and can become nothing but time-sucking negative sponges. Have you ever heard of a positive conspiracy? I haven't. Never heard of a positive conspiracy. Here's some problems with conspiracies for a Christian. One is they can be flat-out lies. You could be believing and following a lie. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did. It's exactly what happened in the garden. Second, many conspiracies falsely accuse people of doing something they probably didn't even do. Accusations can destroy people's reputations and innocent people's reputations. Then we have the superior conspirator. Another thing that conspiracies, another thing with conspiracies is that a person can get the feeling of superiority over others. When we think we know something other people don't, we can begin to look down on others. And that leads to pride. Pride was the leaven of the Pharisees. Perhaps Pharisees and conspiracies went well together. They sure did, because they killed and had a conspiracy against Jesus Christ. The fact that we might truly know something most other people don't, the fact is that we might know truly know something other people don't, I think we should ask ourselves some questions. And I do this through with a lot of things. What did it get me? What were the benefits that I received from it? It took my time. It took my effort. Did my belief in it lead me to gossip about someone or to think badly about someone who was actually innocent? I really couldn't prove it, and I didn't witness it, but I believed it. Why? Because it was online? Did it harm another person's reputation? Did I sin in this process? We all need to be careful. I've been caught in the trap before, believing something that I've read on the internet, thinking bad about especially politicians. But I've been caught in that before. I didn't see it. I didn't witness it. How do I know it's true? You know, we should be interested in what's happening in the world. And I have some stories that I'm more interested in than others. And I think we all have that. I mean, there's just those stories we are more interested in. I dig a little bit deeper. However, what I've began to do is make sure that I'm gauging my time. How much time am I spending on news and conspiracies or anything like that that interests me compared to how I'm spending time with God and reading my Bible? The truth that I know I can trust, that trusted truth. I'm digging more in the Bible than digging in the dirt. Next, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9. Isaiah 8, verse 9. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Devise your strategy, but it'll be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. God is with us, his people. This is what the Lord says to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. Do not call conspiracy. Everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. And that's what conspiracies usually do. They prey on fear. They like to prey on fear. This was back in Isaiah's time. This has been going on since the beginning of man. God states that these ungodly people and nations that devise these things will be thwarted. God is in charge. He's not going to allow them to do this forever. His kingdom is coming someday, and if he doesn't do it in this life, he's going to do it in the future. He will make things right. Through Isaiah, God states, do not call conspiracy. Do not fear, do not dread. It's not a suggestion. He says, do not. He's telling his people, we should not be fearing these things. Verse 13, the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. So if people are fearing over these things and dreading over these things, they're fearing over the wrong things. He will be a holy place with both Israel and Judah. He will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare. Many of them will stumble, they will fall and be broken. They will be snared and captured. Bind up the testimony of warning and seal up God's instruction among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. I will put my trust in him. The context here is all about politics. It's all about politics. Subverting people's ideas and theologies and theories. There are conspiracies, and that was way back about 2,700 years ago. God tells us not to worry about these conspiracies, even when they are real, even when they begin to oppress, even when the wicked are prospering. And we will see the wicked prosper, and we do that today, don't we? We see some of these people who are involved in things, and they don't seem to hide it, and they do prosper. If we love God and we respect him and fear him, we'll make the conspirators stumble someday. We're going to make them stumble. You know, there are real power plays in the world and governments going on, the UN and the World Economic Forum, and I hear some shocking things sometimes. I don't seem to hide it. There's not really conspiracies in some of these. They say things right out. That you can believe then, okay? That's their agenda. But there is thievery in our nations of all sorts. There's briberies going on. There's illegal taxes. They're taxing the daylights out of people. There's illegal inflation, and inflation is not a legal thing. It's because our government just prints the money every time they want to, and that happens in not just our country, in other nations. And that's how they tax people without representation. There are power brokers for human trafficking and for big money. But the things that count for God's people is building that relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We know there's things behind the scenes. We know there's a dark web. We know that there's people infiltrating governments. They always said it's always happening throughout history. This is nothing new. None of this is new. These things will impact us. They will definitely impact us. All right, so they are. But after baptism, our environment changes. That outward environment isn't what should impact who we are. God's looking at our hearts and our minds. That's where the change is going to be, is our hearts and mind. That environment, that outside environment, God is going to change in the future. You know, there's blatant corruption in our government where government officials seem to be above the law. Individuals run for office and they get elected with maybe hundreds of dollars in their bank accounts and they come out multimillionaires. Well, we do have one president that said something about that. Harry Truman said, "Show me a man who gets rich by being a politician and I'll show you a crook." You know, most of the politicians today now are not being investigated, and I think maybe 20 or so years ago, maybe a little longer, but I think they would have all been in jail. So we know things are stacked. We're not ignorant, and I'm not claiming we should be ignorant. But our country is turning away from the rule of law, and the whole world is turning away from rule of law. All the laws are changing. The rules are changing. And I believe it's just a preview of things to come. But we can put that in the biblical perspective. We know these things are going to happen. You know, God doesn't want his people to have their heads in the sand. He wants us to know what's going on, and ignorance is not bliss. This world certainly isn't very bliss. But here's the thing. You're already in the know. You already know something most people do not know, and that's God's truth. He's revealed a gift to you. He's given you a gift that blows away every conspiracy out there. He's given you a gift that is life-changing, and that's going to be a gift to the entire world someday. But this isn't knowledge that puffs up. This is a humble knowledge. It's not one of arrogance. It's one that respects others, that loves others, that even puts others first. You know, this world doesn't have that. It is available throughout the world, the truth is. They have in front of them, but they don't even want it yet. Not yet. They will someday. I think we would best invest our time in God's word. This word brings us joy. When was the last time that a conspiracy brought you joy or happiness in your life? Seriously, it has never for me. You know, the world offers up a multitude of conspiracies to follow up if you want. It's kind of like a bad James Bond movie, isn't it? Every time I turn on, I see them, they're always on the internet, but... Again, I'll repeat it, conspiracies have been around since mankind has been here. And actually, they were even prior to that. Satan conspired to overthrow God's throne prior to man being on the earth. He failed miserably. He took a third of the angels with him, and he destroyed their lives as well as his own. He was blessed at one time, and so were those angels. But they fell away. They destroyed their lives. When Satan discovered that God was planning to have a family and that he had in this family, he wants to create billions of other God beings, I'm sure that frustrated him. Now there's going to be multi-billions and billions in God's family. How is he ever going to overthrow that? He's not. He cunningly lied and deceived humanity from the beginning. He knows if he could get people to reject God and his ways, that God would not and could not allow them in his kingdom. Because God is merciful and he won't allow someone who's miserable in his kingdom and to live eternity being miserable. God will have joyous children in his family. My hope and prayers before this Passover are that all of us can draw closer together. In unity and peace and harmony. That everyone here and listening can learn to love and respect each other. Despite our differences, despite our opinions, we need to stop being offended by other people's opinions. Because you have yours doesn't mean that I have yours. Because you have your opinions doesn't mean that they're my opinions, and vice versa. So what? They're opinions. We're allowed to have opinions. People get offended with such petty things. We're looking at the little things then. We need to look at what really matters. We're not looking at what matters when we are offended by somebody's opinion. We need to learn how to love well, to love unconditionally. And that's not always easy. It's harder to love some people than others. I'm sorry I'm so hard to love sometimes. I'm trying to overcome that. But it's part of our calling. Each of us have a lot to give to this congregation if we're willing. Everyone here. God the Father chose you to be here. God himself, the Father, chose you to be sitting in this seat today. It was a special invitation just for you. God's watching how each of us treat each other. If we don't have a strong desire to be with God's people now, why would we change later? What I'm saying is, why would we change in God's kingdom? And God sees that. If we don't have a desire to be here, think about that. We should have a very strong desire to be with God's people. You know, we're in the final lap before Passover. Last scripture. 2 Timothy 4:3. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Well, here's what I have to say about that. Let's spend our time going to the source of truth, not fables. God's Holy Bible. It's exciting. It has adventure. It has mystery. It has intrigue. It has a superhero who died for every single one of us. It contains psychology. It contains science. It contains wonders that defy science. It has romance. It has love. And most importantly, and the best part of this book is that it has a happy ending. I hate to spoil it, but I'm going to. The good guys win.